Ecce homo, behold the man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have just completed the chanting of the fourth and final Passion Gospel of this Passion Tide. This is the account that is taken from St. John. Have you ever wondered why St. John's Passion is said on this day? Why? On the actual day on which our Lord dies is the very shortest version given of his passion and death. I'm sure that there are several reasons. In the passions, they are presented to us throughout from Palm Sunday onward in the order in which they occur in the scriptures. Palm Sunday is St. Matthew, Tuesday is St. Mark, Wednesday is St. Luke, and today is St. John. Perhaps it is also chosen for the day today because his gospel, St. John's, that is written without a particular audience in mind, but more of a universal scope in its presentation. But there is one important distinction that I thought good to meditate on with today's presentation of St. John's Passion. It is fitting today because it is the only, mostly first-hand, account of our Lord's Passion and Death. St. Matthew was there in the cenacle for the Last Supper, but he was also there in the cenacle at the time of the crucifixion. St. Mark, he witnessed our Lord's arrest in the garden, but as soon as he was perceived, he ran away as fast as he could. Only St. John was with our Lord on the cross. As we stand at Calvary, liturgically speaking, it is important for us to picture what we paint in our minds as viewed through the eyes as one who has seen it. But there is so much importance in that witness to the passion and death of our Lord, the gazing upon Christ there on Calvary. In a short while, we will have the unveiling of the cross, followed by the veneration of it. We approach Christ crucified. We press our lips to his holy wounds, and we gaze upon him hanging, dying. For the Protestant, there is no corpus on the cross. It is merely empty. They say it is to focus on a victory already won. They think only of Christ resurrected. Their salvation in their minds is already won. But the resurrection is the result. Religion is intimate with the sacrifice. Since the fall of man, every religion, true or false, has offered sacrifice. It was only with the Protestant Reformation that this novel idea came in, a non-sacrificial religion. Because Protestantism isn't a religion. It is only a hope in a desired goal. But if a salvation is assured, then what is the purpose of continuing to live? We, the faithful, we know Christ offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, but it is a perpetual sacrifice. One which we offer daily upon our altars, which we join our own imperfect sacrifices in life to be attached to, which we gaze upon in imagery and reflect upon for effect in order for us to grow in the way of perfection. Because we still are working out our salvation. And so it is the sacrifice which we need. And it is witnessing that sacrifice that we realize therein is found truth. Ecce homo. One phrase spoken very simply. But the sight beholds volumes of truth. Pilate presents Christ to the crowd. This is what you have asked for. Behold. Behold what your sins have produced. Behold the flesh torn by scourges, because you have given in to sensuality. Behold eyes swollen and bruised, because we have allowed ours to wander in lust and avarice. Behold lips swollen and purpled, and a mouth that is left parched. This is due to our sins of the tongue and of gluttony. Behold his ears, assaulted now with insults and blasphemies, because we have leaned ours towards gossip and impropriety. Behold his hands bound before him, because ours have been able to roam all too free. Behold a head crowned with thorns, because ours have been filled with pride. Behold feet about to embark on the Via Dolorosa, because we have put ourselves in occasions of sin. Behold him who is traded for Barabbas, a despised man, a murderer, a robber, one who has terrorized his community. We are meant to reflect. We are Barabbas, and Christ is traded for us. With all that in mind, can we not watch? If we desire to gain the fruits of our Lord's sacrifice, if we desire to save our souls, then it is necessary that we must love God. And when we look at the scene of the Passion, it is love which witnesses it. The Magdalene is there, because as Christ said of her, many sins are forgiven her because she has loved much. Being forgiven, it is her choice to be at the foot of the cross. She chooses to again be at her master's feet, and this time to weep tears as she witnesses how her sins are forgiven. No man could love Christ more than the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so it is that she is there. She has brought him into this world, and she will accompany him out. She has given him his flesh, and so she will see it torn apart. She has told the angel, let it be done. And so she watches now as it happens. And she does not merely witness, but as the new Eve, she shares in it all. Every blow, every scourge, every fall, and each and every nail, they tear deep into Christ's flesh, and they likewise pierce deep into her heart, because she is the co-redemptrix, and she is the mediatrix of all grace. And these are not merely honorary titles, but ones which she has borne and earned in witness of the Passion. And there is our author present, the disciple whom our Lord loved. When we see him throughout the scriptures, we see a young man. He is the youngest of the apostles. We see an innocent man. And we see one who is most sensitive of the 12. Last night, there in the cenacle, he leaned on Christ's chest, reclining there, placing his head upon his sacred heart. The reason why this is done is because he seeks reassurance at that moment. All that has gone on that night, all that talk of death to come and betrayal that is looming, he needed to find strength for his fright. And John found it there in Christ's heart. And he loved him back. And this love is what conquered the fear that he shared with all of the other apostles. So that he, alone amongst them, had the strength to bear witness on this day, to share in his own way in the suffering of his Lord. Ecce homo, let us gaze upon and see not merely a man, but the God-man. Ecce lignum, his image is revealed to us on the implement that is meant for us. Let us reflect upon and reverence this image with gratitude for the sacrifice that is made for us. And tomorrow, when we once again hear Ecce Agnus Dei, let us gaze upon our Savior in the flesh and receive him as our expression of love, because we too have witnessed his sacrifice once again. And we shall continue to do so, so often as we can, as long as we traverse in this veil of tears. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.